May I speak in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. There's an improv theater game called Same Story, Different Genres, where all the players on stage act out the same scene at the same time, but one acts like they're in an old Western, and another in a documentary, and another in a film noir. There's no limit on the different ways you can tell a single story. And I've been thinking about this game as it relates to the four Gospels, because they tell the same story, but they tell it so differently from each other. John is literary, and Matthew and Luke are historians. And Mark is really more of a newscaster. Mark's is the earliest and the shortest gospel. And in 16 chapters, Mark uses the word immediately 40 times. So the stories in Mark are short and to the point, and give us only the details we really need. And anything Jesus does in Mark's gospel has immediate results. And today's story is interesting because it shows up not only in Mark, but also in Matthew and Luke, and in almost identical form. So with confirmation from three different sources, we can safely trust that the events in today's gospel really happened, that they happened the way Mark tells them, and that they were extremely important, even a turning point in the life and ministry of Jesus. And even though these three accounts are so similar, it's easy to pick out Mark's. Immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Immediately Jesus' new power had gone forth from him. Immediately the girl got up and began to walk. And the story begins with Jairus, a leader of the synagogue, who throws himself at the feet of Jesus and begs for help. And if you recall, at this time, the leaders of the synagogue were generally not keen on Jesus. These are powerful people who saw Jesus as a competitor and a threat. So already early in this passage, we should be thrown off our game a little bit. Jairus is one of the least likely candidates to ask Jesus for help. So Mark is hoping we'll ask ourselves, who is this man and what does he want? But we find out right away what he wants from Jesus because his daughter is at the point of death. She's only 12. She's so sick. And he loves her so much. He is the last person on earth who should come to Jesus for help. But he's desperate. This is his last resort. And this puts Jesus actually in a very good position. Think of all the credibility he stands to gain by healing the daughter of a respected and powerful leader, and someone with very high standing in the group that has been giving Jesus such a hard time. So he has every opportunity to exploit this moment for political gain. And to do that, what he should do next is run straight to the home of Jairus without looking back. But while he's on his way there, he instead does something different. The scripture says he becomes aware that power has gone forth from him immediately. So he looks around to see who has done this. And he sees someone very different from the daughter of Jairus. Because Jairus is well known and powerful, and his daughter is presumed to be innocent and pure. But the robes of Jesus have been touched by a woman suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years, as long as the daughter of Jairus has been alive. And this woman now lives in poverty, bankrupted by medical costs. She may be homeless. She is definitely an outcast. She's incurably ill at a time when illness is seen as a punishment from God. She's constantly bleeding in a hot and sunny place before modern hygiene. Imagine how she must have looked in that crowd. Imagine the smell. And after 12 years, her bleeding is the only thing she's known for. None of the Gospels give her a name. Her name is Hemorrhaging Woman. Illness has taken everything from her, even who she is. And whereas Jairus has a lot to lose by asking for help from Jesus, the hemorrhaging woman has everything to gain. And so she's brave enough to push her way through the crowds and grab onto his clothes, and she doesn't ask first because she knows the disciples will tell her no. This is a woman who is used to the idea that no one will ever want to touch her again. And she's so brave until Jesus turns around and looks her in the eye and she realizes that it's worked and she really has been healed. And then all of her bravery crumbles and she's left with only the truth. So she tells the whole story and Jesus tells her that her faith has made her well. But first he gives her a new name. Not hemorrhaging woman, but daughter. He calls her daughter as though it is her name, and in that one word, he tells not only this woman, but the whole crowd, that she is more than the sum of illness and poverty, that she is loved even if she has no family. That even if she is used to being an outcast, she is every bit as important as the daughter of Jairus. She is still somebody's child. She may be nothing in the eyes of the world, but she is everything to Jesus. He sees her and names her as a daughter of God. But while this is happening, Jairus is still standing there and getting more and more panicked. And this woman has a chronic illness, but his daughter is dying. And Jesus sees these women as equally important, but you can't blame Jairus for being more concerned about his own little girl. But Jesus has not forgotten her. He tells Jairus, "Do not fear, but only believe." And he goes on to the house where people are already in mourning. And he goes to the little girl, and so gently he takes her hand and invites her to get up. And immediately, she does. And then he tells her parents that no one else needs to know. The healing of the hemorrhaging woman, the daughter of God, was a public moment. But this moment is for Jairus and his wife to share with their daughter, who was dead and now is alive again. And this is the Jesus Christ we come to worship, one who sees all of us as equal in the eyes of God, who is present at the most public and the most private moments of our lives, and who gives us permission to live without fear if we are only willing to take the risk of having a little faith. Amen.